Okay. Hey, maybe we'll give it a shot next week. At 8:30, it was able to be seen. It was a good presentation. And when Eric from Spain was speaking, you know, Solomon might have said, "Meaningless, meaningless." Can't understand what he's saying there. And I knew a man from Somerset, Pennsylvania, who was converted by reading the book of Ecclesiastes. And that's probably a book in the Bible you haven't turned to, I imagine, in the past year or so. But if you looked in that book, one of your first responses might be, "Oh, I can't believe this was written about 3,000 years ago." Because it seems like it could be written about life last week, or parts of your life that you can't figure out, and it kind of leaves you scratching your head or leaves you in the dark. So if you want to be reintroduced to Christ like the man from Somerset was, or introduced to him for the first time, you can look in Ecclesiastes and find Christ there. He said that what Solomon was asking were some of the questions that he was asking about his life. And it goes to show us that the Bible is very timely and timeless in its application. When you look in the Bible, it's not so important that we examine the Bible, and it's good to search the Scriptures so we can find Jesus. But what's more important is that we let the Bible examine us. When we read God's Word, it's like we come away from it and say, "Oh, it sounds like Solomon or the Lord has been looking at my life. Somebody knows me. Okay, it appears the author of the book understands me." And that's part of your goal as you look into God's Word. So to look at Ecclesiastes will give you light. And what if you could turn to a book that would judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart, which the Bible does, and yet at the same time shows you unconditional, faithful love? You say, "Well, this book is like as sharp as a knife, two-edged sword. Yet it draws me to a Savior. It speaks to every issue that my heart has dealt with this past week." That's the faithfulness of God's Word. So as you look into Ecclesiastes with me in the next couple, number of weeks, hopefully to draw close to Christ, to know Him in life's questions. That's part of the goal. Someone said Ecclesiastes is a solid dose of reality. And T.S. Eliot, who was an author, said, "People cannot stand too much reality." I think that's true. Somewhere over the rainbow, that's where I want to be. I'd be a lot happier there, wherever there is. But God's Word gently and faithfully points us to the truth of how things are in our hearts and in life around us. So God's faithful to give us enough reality a little bit at a time so we can wake up to Him and wake up to how we are. In Ecclesiastes, it's like Solomon built an observation tower. He climbed the stairs right at ground level. And he said this. He looked around at life from the point of a king to a point of, you know, David's son. And he was in the lineage of Jesus. So he had a lot of good things going for him. And he said this. He said, "I have observed life. And this is what life is like. And often, I don't see very much of God in it." Have you ever come to that conclusion? This is what life is like. I've observed it, and I don't see very much of God in it. Okay, he was honest enough to look at life and experience it that way, and he recognized he needed the intervention of God in his life, because that's all he saw was stuff from an under the sun kind of experience. No help was coming to him from the outside. And sometimes you'll feel that way too. Sure, certainly Jesus felt that way at the cross when he said, "Lord, why have you forsaken me?" King David must have felt that way beforehand when he wrote Psalm 22. So there'll be times in your life you'll just scratch your head and say, "This is meaningless. I don't get it." I saw a terrible TV show last week, looking around on the channels, and turned into a very violent part. It was about a town where soldiers had taken over, and they brought all the villagers out in front of them, and they wanted to know something from the villagers, and the villagers weren't telling them. So they said, "Oh, we're going to shoot you one at a time until you tell us." And they bring us a little boy first, about a 7-year-old boy. And they're going to end his life. And there was a clergyman there at the time. And the clergyman starts praying real hard and sincerely. And the soldier looked at him and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you praying? And he said, yes, I'm praying. He said, well, God isn't here today. And he shoots the boy. And Solomon would say, I have seen things like that. Things that are totally senseless. They make no sense. And parts of your life, when you look at it, you would say with Solomon, I've seen things like that. Things that are bad. Things that don't fit. And I can't see God in it. So Solomon starts preaching. And he says, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. The word in Hebrew means worthless, empty, senseless. And Solomon would say, I've seen enough of life to know that it doesn't make sense. And until I reach heaven's shores, I'm going to be confused at times. I remember cleaning out a cupboard in our house. Had some children's toys in it and some children's puzzles. And the puzzles got all mixed up. So instead of cleaning the cupboard, I tried to put some puzzles together. Anything better than cleaning the cupboard? So I found 2 pieces that fit here and 3 pieces that fit there. And then these 2 didn't fit in with anything. And I'm thinking, I don't even know what I'm trying to put together here. Am I making a sheep? Am I making a goat? Am I making a pig? What's the purpose of all these things? Do they fit? And sometimes that's the way our days are. We can't see, how does this fit in with knowing God and following Him in any manner? I feel in the dark about this. That's where Solomon was. Solomon would say, I get it. Life is like that sometimes. I had an early experience in junior high of the verse, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless, when we were going to an event. Special event, junior high, get out for a field trip. And we started to sing on the back of the bus, 99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 bottles of beer, take one off, pass it around. 98 bottles of beer on the wall. Now, were we going to sing that song for the next 45 minutes to help our trip go better? But sadly, you know, that song could be the story of anybody's life who says, I can't make sense out of life. Just give me something else to occupy my time. And it's a sad thing. I'm on the 23rd bottle. I'm running out of bottles and time fast here, and it's still not making any sense. Solomon was running for president. Somebody said his motto would be, vote for craziness. You know it makes sense. That's all you go for when you say, I can't see God. But God is faithful to Solomon's struggle and to your struggle. He understands life could look like that some way, some days. And he says, breakthrough. But you can be complete in Christ. Who's going to be the cornerstone to fit the pieces of the puzzle of your life together? You better have a cornerstone. And it better be very strong. Very reliable, not just for you, but throughout history. You can be complete in Christ. Solomon would come to that conclusion at different times in his book and in his life. In verse 3, he looks at work. And he says, now does this make any sense? What does a man gain from his labor? Generations come and generations go. The earth is more solid than the next group of people coming through. I knew a real faithful Christian years and years ago, who had a saying that showed the Solomon struggle in their life. You ask them, how you doing? And they would say, same old, same old. And you say, how's work going? Same old, same old. They gave a report for Sunday school for the church. What's going on in Sunday school? Same old, same old. You know, I wanted to say, wait a minute. You're studying about Jesus in His Word. Okay, you're with other people that He loves, and you're saying that it's same old, same old. There's nothing same old, same old, except maybe the cataracts, spiritual cataracts on our eyes that keep us from seeing Him. That's the drudgery. Solomon would say, I understand. Where do you work? I work for Drudgery Incorporated. It can happen. The pastor's wife asks the pastor, what are you preaching about this week? The pastor says, same old, same old. The pastor's wife says, you need the Lord. Pointing them in the right direction. What does a person gain with all the labor he has under the sun? You might not want to wash the dishes 21 times this week when people don't say thank you for the food. That was good. A family in the summertime was going from one place to the next, enjoying summer days, supposedly. And one of the people in the back seat said, I'm bored. And one of the parents, who was not trying to be a Christian smart aleck, said, well, why don't you think about God, and then you won't be bored. And the person was quiet. Okay. What truth did that parent stumble upon? Would God give meaning and purpose and love and friendship to any particular experience a person's going through? Solomon would say, I hope so. That's what I'm looking for. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, who was a poet, said that every common experience in life, whether it's work or being with another person or worship, was ablaze with God's glory. Can you imagine going through your week this week and every person you meet, you think, that person's ablaze with God's glory. Christ is their creator. He's their redeemer. They might not know it yet, but that's the reality to wake up to. Solomon would say, I want to find that. If I don't find that, I have nothing. I have nothing. The alternative to seeing our life with Christ, one man described it as that you and I are just a bunch of liquid walking around in a bunch of gases. That's all. We're just bumping into each other. Creating our own purpose and our own pleasure before we check out. God's Word said, no, there's a truth. There's a better way. Jesus would say, I'm the light of the world. I can help you make sense to the darkness that you're stumbling around in. And so, without Christ, life never has ultimate purpose, but with Him, we begin to walk in with some dependence and humility and compassion that he would have for us. Otherwise, we say, I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. That's the theologian Mick Jagger there. And Solomon asks, are you going to chase the wind all your life? It's a heavy burden God would lay upon you. Life is a heavy burden when God's not in it. We say, I choose for Him not to be in it. It's a heavy burden. It's a chasing after the wind. Or maybe you and I, in an attempt to find meaning, will say, I'll find meaning in one or two significant other people in my life. Because I sense like I'm not just wired for myself. I'm wired for other people. And so that could be a rabbit trail that we go down. I'll just seek that one person or make it a family or whatever, and I'll make that my idol. Is there any part of creation that we haven't taken from God and said, let's worship this? Whether it's our own physicality or intellectual ability or even dear people around us. Say, how about if I worship that? Would that work for me? And God would have us go another way. After the Beatles retired, Paul McCartney and his group wrote a song that's entitled Just Another Day. And it really, Solomon could have wrote it. The words were, every day she takes a morning bath, it's just another day. It's this lady, she's living where Solomon lived. At the office where she goes to work, she takes a break, pours another coffee as she tries real hard to stay awake. It's just another day. So sad, sometimes she feels so sad. And then she's looking for something else. So the song says, alone in an apartment she dwells until the man of her dreams comes to break the spell. Will he be the one? Will he be the one to provide meaning? She hasn't found meaning in her of herself. It could be this husband guy. You know, and the gals take a glance at their husband, and the husband said, I was never supposed to be your ultimate meaning, dear. I just wanted to be your husband. But that's where she's at. He comes, the song says, he comes and he stays, but he leaves the next day. So sad. That's life without being wired to God first. The relationships get all mixed up. And we either blow them off or we grab a hold of them like their meaning itself. And it's a heavy burden, but God would come and give a breakthrough. Throughout the book and at the end of the book, Solomon hears God saying, take the experiences of life, people and work and worship, and put God at the very center of them. Think of life as a gift from God, all those moments. Think of them as a gift from God. And then you'll begin to find meaning with God, who loves you and created that moment so you could get to know him. And Solomon would say, fear God and follow him. That's how he concludes the book. And with Christ, we start to say, well, life does have meaning and mission and purpose and love. You know, is the Lord really the one to answer all the longings you have in your heart and all the heartaches of your heart? Jesus would step forward and say, yes, I am. I am the life. Could it be in the person of Christ? Quoting one final song that Solomon could have wrote, written by the Moody Blues. It says, why do we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door? About 1,000,000,000 questions about hate and death and war. Those are things Solomon deals with in his book. And the song concludes by Solomon saying, I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. How about you? Are you looking for a miracle in your life? Certainly when you look at the parts of your life apart from God, you would say, I must have a miracle. I must. And could it be that the miracle you're looking for is in the person born in Bethlehem, dying on Calvary. When you laugh, he hears it. When you cry, he tastes the tears. And there your Creator would come and be the way, the truth, and the life. He'd come there for you. And would you let Jesus introduce himself to you in your soul for salvation or in your days for meaning and purpose? To me, the sadness of life is, in addition, not just the person who doesn't know Christ. That's truly sad. But the person who knows Christ and finds no meaning throughout their life because they've chosen to look at life apart from God. It's like having the Holy Spirit and tell them to be quiet all the time when God would speak. But let Jesus introduce himself to you. O soul, if you're weary and troubled, and there's light in the darkness, he's the light that would come. It'd be the answer to all the heartaches, longings of your condition. Would you say to him in your soul, Jesus, be my Lord. Give meaning to my life. You're everything my soul longed for. God's word presents Christ like that. He is like that. And he can change a life to know God and know him forever. Might you trust in him in your days and follow him with the good news that he is Lord. Let's pray together.